Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. Thanks to our friends at Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. They are great friends and underwriters of Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. Find out more about them on our website, kfuo.org. You can find the Concordia University, Wisconsin logo in the sponsor section. Homeschool. How do you go about it? Do you have fears of embarking on such an adventure? Why choose homeschool as the education choice for your family? We have some families lined up today to help us dig through that, why they chose home education for educating their children and how they go about that, how they address those fears and challenges, and are they thriving as home educators? All that to dig into today here on Faith and Family. Our guest today, we have in the first segment, three home educators, three moms who have who've been doing this for a while now as home educators and have their stories to share with us. First up, Corey Wysocki. She's been a guest with us here on Faith and Family before. Corey, welcome back.
Hi, Andy.
Glad to have you back with us today. Looking forward to sharing your story and this round table today. We're at a virtual round table today with our guests on the phone. So we'll head from, Rockford. You're in Rockford, Illinois. Is that right, Corey?
Yep, that's right.
We'll head from Rockford over to Amber Lee Burkholz. Good morning, Amber Lee.
Good morning.
Amber Lee, where are you calling from?
I'm down in Oak Lawn, Illinois, which is on the south suburb of Chicago.
Okay, so still in northern Illinois, same time zone, and looking forward to learning about more about your experience as a home educator. And then heading out west to Wyoming, Holly Shear, good morning.
Good morning.
And what city are you in, Holly?
We are out in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Cheyenne, and it's still a little early there. What is it, 9 o'clock there?
It is 9 o'clock here. Oh.
And school getting underway in the Shear household?
Yes, it is. Just finished breakfast and they're working on it.
All right. So that's the challenge, I guess, for everybody this morning is, what assignment did you give them to keep everybody so quiet? I don't hear anybody in the background yet.
I get the substitute teacher of Daddy. He's home, so he's occupying right now.
Yeah, we have a substitute teacher in our house, too. My mother-in-law is staying with us, and she's a very excellent stand-in for when I can't be there.
So having a team that you can rely on is certainly important as well. Now, let's start with Holly. Holly, when did you decide to start homeschooling?
Well, my oldest is turning 13 this week, actually, and we sent her to a year of preschool at an LCMS day school, and it was fine, and everybody was very nice, and it just wasn't quite the right fit for us, so we didn't put her back in preschool 10 years ago, I guess, and took her home, and we thought we would just do preschool at home, and then it became kindergarten at home, and then we kind of realized we loved it so much, we've just stuck with it.
What was it that you loved about homeschool so much that you wanted to continue with it?
Well, first, my husband is a pastor, and so, you know, as everyone who's married to a pastor knows, your schedule is really irregular. And so when you have evening Bible studies and board meetings, he can take a longer lunch sometimes or a longer breakfast and still get really good time with the kids. And if they were in school, they wouldn't really have that flexibility.
And how did you decide who would be the primary teacher of your students, of your children?
Well, it kind of came down to simple logistics for us. I mean, I'm the one who's home with the kids. I'm the one who's constant and always there, and so I get to do that. As they get older, my husband is a very good resource on math and history. Those are kind of more his strengths than mine. And then, you know, we can complement each other and the kids can help each other as they grow. And it's really allowed our family to have very close relationships.
Now, you mentioned your oldest is 13. Tell me about your other children.
Sure. I have a girl who will be turning 10 in May. And then I have two little boys. They're 7 and 4. So our kids are kind of stair-stepped and spread out. We have two girls and two boys, and all of them are being taught at one level or another right now.
So 4, 7, 10, and 13. And hopefully we can get into this a little bit more. How do you spread yourself across such diverse ages when it comes to teaching as well? We'll dig into that in just a little bit. Amber Lee, tell me a little bit about your family and about your children, and then we'll get into why you chose homeschooling.
I've got two children. I've got a son who is 7 and a daughter who's 5. And like Holly, my husband is also a pastor. And so it helps tremendously with the scheduling. And while we are at a smaller church, he still has meetings and things to go to. And so it helps the kids be able to spend more time with them.
And so when did you first make that decision to homeschool?
Probably before my son was, we started talking about it. He was about 1 or 2. And it was kind of, I had to kind of talk him into it. He was not on board from the get-go, but he is now. And it started before he was in preschool. And so we decided to take it year by year, and it went well the first year. So we'll keep going and see how they're doing. And we just keep going.
So for you, it's a, we'll do it for this year, and we'll see how it goes, and we'll reconsider, we'll reevaluate in a year. Is that a fair assessment?
That's how it started. We're pretty solidly homeschooling right now. I mean, to continue on, the kids are thriving, and they really enjoy it. And so we, in theory, plan to homeschool for the foreseeable future, but...
What is it that seems to work so well for you that you want to continue with home education?
It's the one-on-one time with the kids. The fact that I get to teach them how to read. I get to see them learn and embrace the topics that we're studying. My son is, well, right now he is huge into the Revolutionary War, and he's got a set of magnet formers set up as Fort Ticonderoga, and he's got the little people animals are the British, and his little army guys are the Americans, and he's got this the whole Revolutionary War set up in our living room right now, and he's just having a ball recreating what happened. And I love getting to watch his imagination at work and watching him recreate things like that.
It is delightful just to see those things open up, to see their minds open up, and to see them discovering things and finding the joy and the beauty, the delight in things like that. Yeah.
Yes.
Corey, tell me about your family and why you chose to, when you started to homeschool.
Sure. We have 3 daughters, 10, 8, and 7. We're in our 5th year of homeschooling. We started out when my oldest was ready for kindergarten. We began discussing it, though, when she was not even 2 yet, when my husband moved from 5th grade Lutheran school teacher to firefighter, and just thought, you know what, we knew some homeschoolers. We sort of just thought, you know, the kids would go to school with Daddy, and they weren't going to be going to school with Daddy anymore. So we started looking into homeschool as a real viable option, and just kind of fell into what we're using now, but see ourselves, God willing, going all the way through high school.
What has helped you stay committed to, why have you stayed committed to homeschooling?
That is a loaded question. There's a lot of reasons. I think right now it's conviction that we are the best educators for our children, that we have been given this vocation by God to raise them to know and love Him and to see the world through His understanding of it. Which I just think we're the best ones to do that right now. And until He tells us otherwise, we're not going to shirk our duties on that vocation. So, and then the support of other homeschoolers. I think we're not meant to do this on our own. So we've been able to find a community of like-minded people who are on that same journey, and that certainly helps.
Let's talk about how you approach the topic of curriculum as you were first starting into this venture of home education. Where did you look for curriculum? What did you find? What has worked well for you? We'll start with Corey and work our way back around the table.
Sure. Well, for those who are investigating it, what we used was a book called 100 Top Picks of Homeschool Curriculum. It's by Kathy Duffy. We just picked it up at our library. It has a little inventory in there for you to answer questions and identify which of eight major, I guess, avenues for homeschooling might align well with what your goals are, where you're coming from. And James and I scored complete opposites on them. So we actually had a friend of a friend had said, hey, have you heard of Classical Conversations? I said, no. And we went to an information meeting, learned a little bit more about what classical education looks like. It was something that was sort of in the middle for both of us. So we thought maybe this is a place to start and see where we go from there. But the more we've learned about it and the relationships we've made within our community and the equipping that I receive from the organization, the like parent organization that our curriculum is through, it's just phenomenal. So we're fairly camped out there. I direct our local community. I've served in leadership with them. So I love the focus on the skills of learning and the how to learn rather so much than what we're learning. Teaching the kids how to ask good questions, become critical thinkers, really retain knowledge and be able to recall it and communicate it well.
Amber Lee, where did you begin your search for curriculum and what did you find that worked well for you?
Well, like Corey, I cannot emphasize the Kathy Duffy book, 102 options. Forget the exact title of the book, but I got that from the library and looked at it, and classical education also seemed to fit best with what we wanted to do. And we did a preschool by another homeschool mom, found her curriculum letter of the week, and we used that for preschool for several years. And then our main one is called Tapestry of Grace. And that's on a four-year history cycle. And that has worked really well. We use, there's no textbook per se. We find a myriad of different books that we're reading about the same, about history during that time. And then our science also is on a four-year rotation that we use. And that matches up with our history.
What is it about that curriculum that you really like or that it's worked very well for you, makes it sustainable?
I like that it's easy to modify if I need to. If I can't get the book from the library, I can find another one similar in topic. It's really well spelled out. What I love about it is that when you purchase, there's four years with it, and once you purchase the 4 years, that has your entire curriculum from first grade to 12th grade.
Wow!
All the information is there, and our library is absolutely phenomenal with the interlibrary loan here in Chicago. There's not a whole lot that we can't get. And so I don't have to buy a whole lot of books because I can just get them from the library, which has been a huge, huge resource for us.
Holly, how did you go about your search for curriculum and building that for your family?
I actually started by talking to people I knew who homeschooled and then pretty quickly got involved in some online homeschool communities, and I guess we're a little bit different than the other families this morning because we aren't really doing classical education. I feel like that's almost a difficult thing to say as Lutherans because classical education is really big right now, but we're doing kind of more traditional or new schooling. We have all of the normal subjects. My oldest is really into, you know, computer programming and kind of the computer science aspect, and our focus is just a little bit different. We're, I think, more heavy on math and science and technology, and the kids do a lot of reading. We bounced around a lot in the early years trying to find things that fit. My oldest was always ahead, and my next has some medical issues, and so she was always needing some extra support with her schoolwork, and we were never able to find one set of programs that fit all of the kids. And my kids are kind of spread out. there's no real grouping a four-year-old and a 13-year-old together on anything academically without really having to stretch. So it's worked best to kind of keep each of the children following their own stream, as it were, if that makes sense.
When it comes to subject or disciplines that perhaps you feel are an area where it's not your strength, something that maybe you don't even feel comfortable teaching because it's not your strength, if you've encountered that, how did you go about remedying that? How did you go about dealing with that if there was an area that you just didn't feel like it was your strong suit and you weren't comfortable teaching in that area? We'll start with... go ahead, Holly.
Oh, sorry. My oldest is taking some classes online, actually, and so all of the teaching and the grading and there's chat rooms and interaction and everything is all online, and we're doing that kind of deliberately as we approach high school to transition more toward still homeschooling. That's best for us in our situation right now, but taking some classes through community colleges and some of the Concordia universities actually offer online classes for homeschooled high schoolers. We've been looking at those and, you know, things like piano and other interests that aren't necessarily our forte have been good to contract out. And I really like the idea of us still being our children's primary educational drivers, but having other people interact with them in that way so they can learn from different people with different strengths than ours.
Corey, how about you? Were there subjects or disciplines you just didn't feel equipped to teach? And if so, how did you approach those?
Well, my students are still pretty young, so I haven't reached the limits of my comfort zone. Although I will say my oldest has begun a language arts program that quite honestly terrified me before we got closer to it. And now that we're in it, it's my absolute favorite thing to do. With them, one of the, I guess, mantras that we constantly are hearing within our homeschool group is that you're the lead learner, and that through this program and the way that Classical Conversations lays it out, they really want parents to feel equipped. That's one of their main focuses, make them feel equipped to be able to handle doing this and come alongside them. So they just keep telling us you're the lead learner, and I try to take that, and as I'm planning and realizing that I'm learning it along with my children to some extent, but there are so many resources. I mean, the homeschool world is very different than what it used to be, and I think people can easily find the support they need if they just look around them a little bit. If not locally, then online. There's so much that is offered to that community.
Amber Lee, how about you? Any areas, any disciplines or subjects that you just didn't feel equipped to teach, and how did you handle that?
Well, we're not quite there yet. My son has started Latin, and he's in his second book of a program called Song School Latin, and Latin put to music. However, I don't have a Latin background. But my husband fortunately does, and so I think once we get past where we are, I'll probably hand him off to my husband so that he can teach him, and that's languages is one of his strengths. And while and we also have a great homeschool community. We get together with four other LCMS pastor families once a month, and they are a huge source of support and help and encouragement. The kids range from soon-to-be newborn to almost 10. There's 14 kids there. And so the moms have quite a wide range of ideas and thoughts and support. And it's just, like Corey said and Holly, the homeschool community, both locally and online, is just there to support you. They're so helpful.
You have all mentioned that you've connected with other families, whether through an organized group or just through your connections, perhaps at church or other settings. What has been most beneficial in connecting with those with other homeschool families that has really, I guess, made home education a success for you?
Well, for me, it's that one day a month we're getting out of the house. Some weeks we don't get out of the house because the weather is just too awful to get out, and it's just too much of an effort to get everybody all bundled up and to get outside. But to do that, and then we do chapel once a month with that group,
And so whoever's hosting, the dad leads a matin service. And so to be able to worship together and to support each other, that's just been such a benefit and to help be for us to be successful.
Holly, how about you in connecting with other families?
I think for us, we don't really have an LCMS homeschool community here, unfortunately. But what we do have is the encouragement of seeing how other people's children who are a little bit ahead of ours are turning out. And it was really one thing, I think, mentally to homeschool, you know, elementary school and upper elementary school even. It felt like even if we weren't being perfect, that there was still time to fix it. And I don't know if everybody else feels this way, but it's like when you get right up against high school, things get really real. You know, this is what's going to be on their transcript as they try to get into college, and you're preparing them for all of the skills they need to have to be successful adults. And it felt really serious and kind of scary at times. And so being able to sit down with families who have children a little bit older than ours and be like, what are you doing and what has worked well and what hasn't worked well? And, you know, are your children still thriving? That was a really big encouragement for us.
Corey, how about you in connecting with other families?
I just can't say enough good things about what we use. We do a weekly class day where the students are, our foundation students are together for about 2.5 hours in the morning, and then the essential students in the afternoons for another 2 hours. And the moms who are our paid tutors have gone through training. And again, there's been the parent-teacher conference, I guess, at lunchtime when we get to support and encourage each other, you know, talk moms back off the ledge when they're feeling just totally overwhelmed, and praying with them. It is a Christian organization, so I don't think that I could do this outside of that kind of support. And then in our high school years, we see the students again weekly class time to discuss what they're learning and to learn from one another, learn how to listen, learn how to debate, learn how to communicate. And all of it is done with families who are in those similar stages, but then also looking ahead to the families who, you know, have gone before you, and gleaning from some of their wisdom is very helpful.
All of you have mentioned that that educating your children is an important part of your vocation as parent, and that's why you've chosen to homeschool your children. Where or how does this catechesis and spiritual nurture, teaching your children God's word, teaching about the faith, where does that fit into your curriculum and how you go about home education? Corey?
The girls and I attend a Bible study together that has a children's program, and it correlates with what I'm learning. So in our morning time at breakfast, we are doing that Bible study together. They do, you know, Sunday school and things, and they have some memory work that they learn from Sunday school. We've done some of our own catechism memory work here at home, just learning chunks of it and figuring out a song or actions or something. The classical model is really heavy in the younger years on memorization, so it's just a natural fit to put that in right now.
Amber Lee, how about you? Where does catechesis, spiritual nurture, teaching the faith fit into your curriculum?
We actually start our day with chapel. We go over to the church and we do a shortened version of matins, and we are currently going through the catechism with the Sing the Faith songs that I think CPH put out, which is the catechism put to music, and we're plugging away with that. This is the second time we've gone through the catechism, so the kids are getting to know it, they're getting scripture daily, they're getting the catechism, and my husband's leading that, so that's how we're doing it.
Holly, how about your family?
Catechesis is really central to our homeschool and our family life, I think, and we circle through the catechism and the confessions, and Bible story, Bible history, apologetics with the older kids, defending the faith. And we also learn a lot of hymns. We spend a lot of time as a family singing hymns, both to the piano and a cappella. And I really feel like that kind of centers and grounds us. And I guess that's the one thing that the children, all of them, can do together. And so it's really kind of special for us to have our faith be, you know, intrinsic to our family life.
We have, we're out of time for this segment. We have more families to invite to our homeschool roundtable here in just a little bit. I want to say thanks to our guests for sharing their home education stories with us today. Holly Shear, thanks so much for being my guest today.
Thank you for having me. It was great.
Amberlee Burkholz, thanks for joining the roundtable today.
Well, thank you for having me.
And Corey Wysocki, thanks so much for coming back and being our guest here on Faith and Family.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Andy.
Coming up in just a little bit, more Homeschool Roundtable right here on Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.
Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
A new study says you live longer if you're a parent. This may come as a surprise to the parent of an infant, two-year-old, preteen, or teenager. Actually, it might come as a surprise to any parent. Researchers tracked over 1 million people and gathered information on, among other things, whether they married and had children. Their findings say men and women with at least one child had lower death risks and lived a little longer. By the age of 60, men gained 2 years and women a year and a half. I'll leave you to contemplate why the difference. Some speculate married people live healthier lives, although I recall many family meals at McDonald's when the kids were little. In the end, I believe it comes down to children being a blessing from God.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on behalf of Concordia Plan Services, Lutheran Church Extension Fund, the LCMS Foundation, Lutheran Housing Support Corporation, Concordia University System, and Corporate Synod, daily reaches out to our members and partners, working together to support our local, global, and international ministries, church workers, and LCMS initiatives at large to carry the mission forward and to serve each other in love. Opportunities to serve, lcms.org/jobsboard.
Wednesday on Issues Etc., we'll get a biography on Joseph the Patriarch from Professor Tom Egger of Concordia Seminary. We'll discuss Martin Luther on the fruits of false teachers with Dr. Ken Sherb, and we'll continue our series on Lutheran identity, talking with Dr. Al Schmidt about the Augsburg Confession.
Issues Etc. live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
Hi, I'm Pastor Mark Hawkinson, inviting you to join me for a KFUO Mission Sunday this Sunday at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Strasburg, Illinois. That's off of Highway 32, just 30 minutes north of Effingham, Illinois. The worship service will be at 10 a.m., preceded by Bible class at 9 a.m. So that's a KFUO Mission Sunday this Sunday at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Strasburg, Illinois. Hope to see you there.
You're listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. It is Homeschool Roundtable today, and we have in studio a great family, a familiar family here at Worldwide KFUO. We have the Fisk family, almost all of the Fisk family in studio today. We have Meredith, mom, in studio today. Good morning, Mrs. Fisk. It helps if I turn on the right mic, huh? Thanks so much for joining us in studio this morning. And you brought your homeschool whole class with you today.
Yes, we did.
Tell us about the class you brought with you today.
Well, we have Chloe, our oldest, who is 12. She's in seventh grade. And Anastasia is 9. She's going on 10. She's in fourth grade. And Trinity is 7. She is in second grade. Fides is 5, very close to 6. He's almost, first grade area.
I'm kind of done with the second grade math book.
Oh, you think so?
Well, I'm almost done.
Excellent. And then there's Alleluia. She's 3, and she is working on preschool, kindergarten stuff.
Wonderful. Well, I can't wait to share your home education story with our listeners today. On the phone with us today, we have Mrs. Becky Philippek. Good morning, Becky.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for joining us. Welcome back to Faith and Family.
Thank you.
Now, the fun thing about a home education for both of these families, you both had a move in the last year, in the last 12 months. Both families have moved, and so that'll be a fun part of the conversation today. How has home education been a part of that move? Did it make it easier to move? Did it make it more challenging? How did it affect your classes, your studies for everybody in the family? Let's start with Becky. Where are you today?
We are in Lidgerwood, North Dakota. We actually swapped places with the Fisk family.
Yes, it's good to hear your voice again, Becky.
Yes, you too. My husband actually came home about half an hour ago from the office and took the children. So I'm home alone. It doesn't happen that often.
So they're all out of the house. You have a nice quiet house to yourself.
Yeah, for a few minutes.
And when did you first start thinking about homeschool? When did you make that decision to homeschool your children?
Well, it's kind of difficult to pinpoint because I was homeschooled for a number of years when I was a kid through ninth grade, and then I attended Lutheran High School. And so I kind of always had it in the back of my mind. And then when my husband was in seminary, I worked full-time and missed much of our oldest child's first year and all those things. Well, no, not his first year, his second year, from 1 to 2. And so then when he graduated seminary, I just wanted to stay home with the kids, and I wasn't ready to part with them. So we started with preschool and then just kind of added on from there and kept going.
And Meredith, when did you all decide to venture into homeschool?
Well, it's been something that we have been interested in since we had our daughter, Chloe. But we have been able to experience life as a homeschool family through a internet charter school. We also had our kids enrolled in a parochial school in the Chicago area, and then we were able to do public school in North Dakota. And so now we're back to homeschooling. And I, throughout it all, I guess there really is no right way to teach your kids as far as I've been able to experience, but there's definitely a way that works best for you or that you have a passion for. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of like what Becky said, I'm not ready to have them be gone. And as our 12-year-old gets older, I realize, wow, my time with her in the house even is limited. And so I just want to take advantage of that as much as possible and not miss those little milestones.
Well, let's ask Chloe then, since Chloe's had the opportunity to study in all of those different environments, what do you see as the advantage of each of those? You have homeschool in your background, you have public school as well as a parochial school?
Yeah, let me see. So I really like homeschool because it gives me the time to I guess, get my work done faster. Like, I got it all done this morning before I even came into the studio, which is awesome.
Now, what does that mean, since you have your work done for the day?
So, I guess it means, since I really love reading, I guess I could just go and read for the rest of the day, which I do sometimes. I'm probably not going to do that today. But it also means I can go and work on some art that I might be trying to do, because I'm really interested into art. Let's see, what else do I do? I guess I have my clarinet lesson later this afternoon, so that's always happening every Wednesday. It's nice if I get my work done before then.
When you were a student in public school, were there things about that you liked?
Yeah, although I must say it's nice to be back to homeschool. Public school was definitely a very relaxed experience, I guess, because
Because mom is a tough teacher.
No, more like each classroom had its own experience, and each teacher had more leniency, I guess, than in private school, which I had before then. So that was kind of nice, I guess.
And was there something you liked about the parochial school that you were in before?
I guess not really. I don't really think back to that time as much anymore, but...
It was so long ago.
Yeah. Well, only like 2 years ago. But, yeah, not really.
There were some good friendships that you had made.
Well, yes, that was nice. But
you had a pretty incredible fifth grade teacher.
Yes, that was also nice.
She was very inspiring.
Let's talk about curriculum and how you've gone about selecting curriculum. Becky, where did you begin your search for curriculum, and what did you find that's been useful, that's worked well for you?
Well, I began my search with the same books that my parents had used with me and my siblings, and then found that there were just many more options than there were in the 90s. So it can actually be overwhelming to look at what's out there. So what helps is kind of narrowing down how you want to approach your children's education. So we do more of a classical style education. So our oldest just added Latin to his subjects this year. And so language study and math are big core subjects, along with, of course, Bible and catechism. And then history is a big topic for us as well, and not social studies. So it's a different way to approach that. And so science is kind of a side subject, which is kind of countercultural right now, because STEM is so huge in the schools. But so it helps to have kind of your philosophy of education, if you will, and that narrows down all of the choices that are available, which are just overwhelming for people just looking into homeschooling. So that's what helped us pick things.
Was there a subject that you didn't feel fully equipped to teach? And if so, how did you approach that subject?
You know, I can't really think of one that intimidated me so much, because I learned well from reading in the past myself, and I know that a lot of homeschooling is picking great books and just reading through them and learning what you can that way. So, yeah, there's not really one that I wasn't sure about. So,
Meredith, how did you go about your search for curriculum and making the choices about what curriculum to use?
Well, most recently, while my children were at public school in North Dakota, I was listening to Issues, Etc., and they had Cheryl Swope was on. She did an episode on January 7th in 2016 about Homeschooling 101, and she was talking about Memoria Press. And so I kind of looked into it after that and fell in love with how they have your curriculum laid out for you. So I used that more as my guide. And now I kind of supplement. We do use Memoria Press for our math and our grammar. Trying to think of what else. But for for the kind of layout of what an eighth grader or a seventh grader should be doing, I've looked at what they have laid out for you, and I kind of go from there. And then I find my own resources maybe that are a little more pleasing for my pocketbook or free at the library. But that's pretty much what we've used this time around. We also start, because we like the classical model, we do start our children when they're around three off with Phyllis Schlafly. She has an excellent phonics curriculum that she has put together or had put together. And so for us, it all starts with learning to read. And that's the primary focus. Until they get that, then we don't really do a lot of math. But reading fits into everything. Like Becky said, you pick it up and you read it. So if they want to learn about something in science, in the realm of science, well, we go to the library, we pick up a book about dolphins, and we're off and running.
So the foundation for your whole approach to education is building strong readers.
Yes.
And then building on that for all the other subjects. Were there any disciplines or subjects that were intimidating to you?
You know, there have been so many questions the kids have asked me along the way. What is this or what is that? And I'll say, I don't know. My first response is, what, kids?
Let's look it up on Google.
Say that again.
Let's look it up on Google.
Yeah. Yeah, let's Google it. And then we'll go from there. If it's something that we're more interested in, then we'll keep on doing more research. But I guess a lot of times the kids, what stumps me more often than not is those little things like logarithms or things in math that you use one time or two times, and then you just let them go. And if you don't keep up with it over time, it just slips out of your brain. So it's good refresher to go through with the kids here and there.
Well, let's go around the room. What is your favorite subject? Let's start over here. We have, is this Anastasia? Anastasia, what is your favorite subject?
I like math.
You like math? What do you like about math? What are you studying right now in math?
Yesterday I did finding change in your payments. And today I'm going to do that with larger numbers.
Very good. You could do the taxes for the family. You could file the taxes for the family then.
Anastasia, what did you get for Christmas?
Oh, I got a robot.
A robot?
Can you tell? Tell about what you did with this robot? Was it all put together for you?
No, I had to build it myself. So I got all the pieces, and then you had to go on this website, and it gave you the instructions in a video.
How long did it take you to build the robot?
Well, I got it. I think it was like around, I don't know.
Maybe two or 3 weeks?
Yeah.
I think it was when we were at Grandma's.
And then did it teach you something, Anastasia, specifically?
Well, it taught me how to use electronics a little bit.
Circuits?
Yeah, circuits and a breadboard and a couple other things I can't remember at the moment.
Fetish, what is your favorite subject?
I do a thing called Duolingo in homeschool, and it's a thing that you learn different languages out of. So all of us are learning German, and there's lots of like cool words, and sometimes easy and sometimes hard. And
can you tell us a word in German? Like, how do you say bread? Do you remember? Or water?
Wasser is water, and then bread is Brot.
What's the coolest word that you've learned in German? You said there are lots of cool words.
Well, I like the water one, and
what about, how do you say boy? Is that a cool word?
I don't know how to say it.
Oh, what? Junge?
Junge.
Trinity, how about you?
Well, I like math because it teaches you how to focus on build. Like, if you have one set and then you find another one, and if you don't know how to count, math helps you.
So math appears to be a favorite among some of the young ladies in the Fisk household. Chloe, how about you? What's your favorite subject?
I have to say that my favorite subject is probably reading. Even though my books that I have to read aren't always fun, I usually get rewarded by reading one of the series that I really would love to read. Like right now I'm working towards Percy Jackson. So I'm reading The Odyssey, or I was. I kind of took a break on that. But yeah, so reading, I guess, is my favorite subject.
Very good. Alleluia. Alleluia. Do you have something, a favorite that you like learning about?
Going underwater, huh?
Are you swimming? Are you a swimmer? Are you learning to swim?
Yes.
Yes.
Do you like phonics? Can you say it? Yeah. No? Okay.
Well, it sounds like everyone has something they enjoy, they love. How important is that as you develop the curriculum, as you teach at home, how important is it to you, Meredith, that each student finds something that they love, an area in which they thrive? How does that help you build your homeschool experience?
Well, it's pretty central because I guess the way my husband and I see education is it's more organic. If you find something that you enjoy or that makes you excited, then you follow that and you keep on learning more about it. Chloe's mentioned being excited about potentially graduating from high school early. And I ask her, you know, what are you going to do next? And the cool thing about homeschooling is if you do graduate early, then you do have time to pursue maybe a passion that you're excited about before you have the pressures of the world to move out of the house or get a job or do something more serious than just sitting and being a student. So yeah, it definitely fuels a lot of what we do at our home.
Chloe, how did you answer that question?
Which one?
The one about graduating early and what would you do with your time?
I really don't know. Like I said earlier, I'm really interested into art, but I've realized that I'd kind of have to do art history, which doesn't sound quite as exciting. I seriously do not know.
You have some time to make that decision, though, it sounds
like.
Hopefully. Becky, how about in your household? What are some of the favorite subjects, and why is that an important part of how you go about homeschool?
Oh, boy. Well, my oldest is 9, almost 10, and he took an interest in robots. So about a year and a half ago, we bought one of those Lego Mindstorms EV3 building kits that is a programmable robot. And so he works on that periodically. And let's see, my second, she's almost 8. And she has a little bit of an interest in recipes especially. She hasn't really gotten too into cooking yet. She's usually busy writing off a list or something instead of in the kitchen with us. But she has an interest in cooking and recipes and things like that. And then my younger son, he's 6. He's really interested in cars and building, so he spends a lot of his time building things. So that gives him something to do while I'm working with the older two and making sure they're getting through the important book work that needs to be done. So that keeps him occupied that he likes to build. And then our youngest, I don't know yet. Just turned 4, and she just kind of runs around.
How do you use
letters, but I haven't figured out how
do you use those interests to build up your homeschool curriculum or to build up your homeschool experience?
Well, like with the oldest and the robotics thing, last April, because we were still living in St. Louis area then, we went to the robotics competition that they have downtown. So that was a lot of fun to go and see the different robots that the kids had made. And so he's got a couple different books about programming and things that go along with that. So he can add that on. And so that's helpful for him. And I don't know, I'm kind of a stickler with the, we're sticking to our core stuff. And those things are extra fun side things. So I'm not the cool kind of direct your learning type of mom. That's not me. So
Has connecting to other families been an important part of your homeschool experience? And if so, how did you go about connecting with them? We'll start with you, Becky.
We haven't quite figured that out up here yet since we've only been living here for 6 months. We've done a STEM experience or two at the library, and so we met a family or two there. But I don't know, we're kind of loners. We never really joined a big group in St. Louis. We had a chapel group going where we got together once a month and did matins together. But that was about it. We kind of stick to ourselves.
How did the move play a role in your homeschool experience? Or did it help that you were homeschooling? Did that make the move easier? Did it totally disrupt your curriculum and your studies?
You know, part of the reason that we do homeschool is because my husband's a pastor, and it gives us the flexibility to take vacations at any time of the year and to be free to say yes to a calling congregation, because we can just pick up and move, as opposed to, well, the kids just started this new activity at their school and I hate to take them away from all their friends and that sort of thing. We're more open to being able to say yes to a call than some others maybe whose kids have gotten really established in their school. So it makes it so much easier to just pick up and move, because we just take some time off and then hop back into a new routine.
Yeah, I agree with you, Becky. Go ahead. Yeah. That's kind of one reason that we were excited about the homeschool model, is that it allows you to dictate your own schedule and not be tied to somebody else's superimposed schedule. Mm-hmm. But it also allows you to, even just on the day-to-day level, with a pastor as your father, sometimes his day off isn't on the weekends. Actually, it's never on the weekends. And so to be able to have a day off with him is very valuable. We've found that too.
Right.
Have you connected with other homeschool families, Meredith, in the past? Or I know you're still getting settled in here in St. Louis. If so, how did you go about connecting with other families?
Well, interestingly enough, the congregation we joined here in the St. Louis area has a number of wonderful homeschool families. And so that's been kind of fun. The kids get to do children's choir together. There are some other kids in the youth group that Chloe can interact with. So it's been neat in that regard. We haven't really gotten involved in any homeschool groups. I don't know if we will, but there are definitely a lot around here. So that's a good resource at our fingertips.
Absolutely. We have just about a minute left. How is catechesis a part of your education, with just about a half a minute here? We'll start with Meredith and we'll go to Becky.
Well, every morning the kids wake up at 6 a.m. and say goodbye to their father as he heads off to work. And then we start in on morning prayer. We use the Treasury of Daily Prayer as our guide. And then I usually throw in a little something afterward. We just finished up with Lutheranism 101 for Kids by Julian Scott Stiegmeier. And now we're diving into the Heidelberg Disputation for Young Readers by Bacos and Feliciano. And we will recite the catechism at that time. And then we also turn KFUO on and we do his time. We listen to his time, and there are two sections in that two-hour segment that we can recite the catechism along with people who are on the radio.
Wonderful. Becky, how about you, with just about a half a minute? How is catechesis a part of your homeschool?
Well, one thing that we're doing with the congregation is putting out a year-long read through the Bible in a year reading list. So we've been reading those chapters every day. My husband will come and get one of the older two kids and either teach them individually, like what he teaches his confirmation students, either at home, or takes them to the office with him and teaches them there. We make sure we always say prayers before meals and before bed, and There's always room for improvement.
Well, unfortunately, we are all out of time. I want to say thank you to all of my guests today. Becky Filipek, thanks so much for joining us by phone again on Faith and Family today. It was a pleasure to talk with you about homeschool.
Oh, thank you.
And to the Fisk family, thanks so much for being here today, Meredith. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
And thanks to all the Fisk children this morning as well. Thanks so much for being my guest in the studio today.
You're welcome. For having us.
Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word with Pastor Whedon. You're listening to the Messenger of Good News on Worldwide KFUO.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.